Welcome to Cub Chat Live. This is a weekly show for Cub Scout families, new Cub Scout leaders, and anyone looking to make the youth serving programs in the Boy Scouts of America, awesome. If you're listening to the audio version of today's show, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. If you're watching live with us today, please comment along in the live chat and be sure to check out our audio version of the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yes, we're a podcast too. Check it out. Okay, here we go.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, everybody. It's time for Cub Chat Live. Hope you all are doing well today. Our topic today is, we're calling it spring recruiting, but it's really kind of about year-round recruiting, or at least, recruiting other than just that fall recruiting night that we all know well. My name is Aaron. I'll be your host today, but I'm not the most important today. The most important today is this young woman sitting across from me. Her name is Jen. Jen, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Like a lot of you folks watching at home, Jen is a longtime scouting volunteer. You can see by her uniform, she's got a passion for the program. She's worn a lot of different hats over the years, too many to even list on the show. And I'm not even going to bother you guys with it. But she is has some experience with recruiting new members, at events and occasions outside of our traditional fall recruiting period. So we thought we'd bring Jen on today to share a little bit of her story and what's worked for her. If you guys have any questions at home, please ask. And by the way, I just want to point out real quick, great. Rusty has already tagged a friend. That's a great idea, guys. If you want to tag a friend in your comments, you can do that. And we share this video with your friends. Shout out to Aaron, who's watching from, hey, another Aaron. All right, two Aarons. That'll work. Pac 3130 in Greenville, Michigan. Todd, good to see you again, Todd, from Farmingdale, New York. Jen, to get us started, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you're up in Wisconsin, where we were just talking earlier about having a nice weather day today. But tell us a little bit about your background in scouting and your experience and what scouting, kind of means to you.
Sure. So I grew up a Girl Scout and then ended up having children, all boys, which then led me to Scouts, Cub Scouts, Scouts BSA. So in 2015, my now oldest, so I have boys ranging from 9 years old to 15 right now. But at the time, my 15-year-old was in second grade, and he got one of those postcards from a friend to join scouting. So we signed him up, and that was kind of the start of my journey in Cub Scouts. Since that time, I've been den leader of each of the dens. I've held the committee chair position and district chair position. So I'm a single mom right now of four boys, very active in the scouting community.
Well, Jen, we appreciate all the time and effort that you spend on the program. If it wasn't for folks like you, Jen, we wouldn't exist. That's not an exaggeration. So thank you so much. Appreciate it. Rob says happy Friday. I agree. Happy Friday to you, Rob. Jason has also tagged a friend. I love that. People tagging friends in the comments. Christine, welcome from Bossier City, Louisiana. My mom's from Louisiana, Christine. So thank you for tuning in. Scott is watching from Williams, Arizona and the Grand Canyon Council. Appreciate all you folks joining in today. All right, let's get to kind of the meat of the show today. We're talking about recruiting. And I think we labeled this as spring recruiting. It is, March 15th. But really, it's really kind of mostly about, recruiting at times other than the fall, right, Jen? We were talking before we started here about maybe in some cases the fall is a tricky time to recruit, right? But what are your thoughts overall about, recruiting in the spring and at other times of the year?
Yeah, so you can actually recruit whenever you want. And he said, I am a firm believer in year-round recruiting, but spring is definitely a great time to recruit scouts. And I guess I'd like to clarify what I mean by year-round recruiting. So for me and our unit and the units that I've been in, since 2014-15, it doesn't mean like a school night or a formal like a recruiting event each month. It means we purposely do something each month to bring awareness and excitement about our unit, where families in the community want to join in on the fun. So it means our unit events that we put on, we're always asking if anyone's interested in joining Scouts. Because really for any recruiting event, regardless of the time of year, for it to be successful, you need to ensure that families are aware that your unit exists. Otherwise, they're going to get that postcard or they're going to get that flyer. And if they know nothing about you or if they've seen nothing about you, the chance of them actually coming forward and signing up is probably a lot slimmer than if they've been kind of watching and following along.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. Thank you for clarifying that, Jen. Those fall recruiting nights, we've been doing those for forever, probably going to continue doing those forever. And we're not talking about, I'm really glad you said that. We're not talking about having another recruiting night or multiple recruiting nights, you know, every month of the year or something like that. We're talking about ways to recruit sometimes with events that you've already planned, right? You may have already planned some events that maybe you don't even realize by just talking about them in a different way. You can turn them into recruiting events. Shout out to Stephanie, who's watching on our YouTube channel. We are live on YouTube. Stephanie's coming to us from Texarkana. What's up, Mike from North Carolina and Darren from Pittsburgh? So glad to have you guys tuned in today. Just want to quickly remind everybody, when we are done with our conversation today, this episode will live on this Facebook page or YouTube channel. And don't forget, like we told you in the intro, we're a podcast now. Shout out to our good friend Gina, who made that happen. So you can listen to us as a podcast on your favorite podcast app. Again, if you have any questions for Jen or if you have any questions at all about recruiting, please leave them in the comments. Jen, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about some success that you've had over the last few years recruiting. Can you kind of give us some examples at how you had about how you kind of made it work for you?
Sure. I guess just to start a little bit about my past. So in 2017, the local community that I was in, we did not have a scouting program. When my son joined, he actually joined in a different city. So we wanted to bring scouting to the city that we currently live in. So I took my two oldest boys and three of their friends and decided to start a unit. And through some of the ways that I'll explain today, we went from five scouts to just under 100 from 2017 to when COVID hit in 2020. So we had a large amount of growth. And then in 2020 with COVID, my children went to a different district. So therefore I went to a different unit to help out over there. And when I arrived there in 2021, we were at around 15 scouts. And today we're just going over the 60 scout mark. So a lot of the things I can talk about today, they've worked. Initially, you know, when you see that first number with the first unit that I was at, you might be like, well, that's kind of a fluke, right? It's not going to happen again. But we're on our way to trying to hit that 100 scout mark again at yet another city. And a lot of the things that we do with regards to that. So, for example, if we were going to have, let's say, a recruiting night the first week of June, we would do purposeful things all spring. And what do I mean by that? Well, we would start with maybe February's Valentine's Day. We would have the scouts make like kind of like peer-to-peer cards, but Valentine's Day cards. And we would let them hand them out to their friends at school, and they would maybe be camping themed, fishing, swimming, just to kind of let everyone know we exist. And then March, scouting for food, we would take our door hangers and we put our labels with our information on it that we take, accept both boys and girls in kindergarten through fifth grade, and some contact information. So that's like a second touch for us. And then typically in the spring, a lot of our local schools will have spring fundraisers where they have lots of activities for and games for the kids. And then they have like donations where you could do silent auctions or live auctions. And, you know, some of our older scouts will ask to participate. We'll put them in their uniforms. They'll help with the games. And then we typically as a unit will donate an item like a camping chair and some marsh, you know, stuff to make s'mores where families could bid on. But our information's displayed there. So as families are going through, they're seeing, you know, scouting is right in front of them yet again. And it's not an ask at this point. It's just kind of what I would call small touches. Then in May, this is like my favorite thing. Teacher lounges are like completely forbidden for kids, but not the week of Teacher Week. Teacher Appreciation Week, we team up with the PTO or PTA, and we ask if the scouts can serve the teachers during that time. So, you know, we all help bring a food item or donate a food item, and they stand behind the table like a buffet line. And as the teachers come in, they get to help serve them. And it's typically during their lunch hour, and they'll come in and out as, you know, in shifts, depending on when the kids eat. And they can bring their lunch in there and eat as well with teachers. But the fact that they get to be in the teacher lounge and some of these other kids don't, right away, we actually had a child join just because they thought it was cool to be in the teacher lounge. But obviously that has nothing to do with Scouts, but that's just, again, like, you know, something fun to kind of intrigue other kids to want to do what we're doing. And then also in May Day, we have them make May Day baskets. I'm not sure if people are familiar with that, but they're just little baskets with like flowers in them. And we add our unit's information to them and we deliver them to families and friends throughout the town, to nursing homes, like the older senior residents. And again, it's not an ask. It's just kind of like, hey, we're here. Look at all the fun things we do. We also reach out in the springtime to our local park and rec departments and ask, because they have little blurbs in there, like, do you want to join for baseball? Do you want to join basketball? Like all these summer sports. And so we ask, do you mind if we put in a little blurb? Do you want to join Cub Scouts? And here's the price and the contact information and a little bit about it. They were extremely receptive. So when families are looking through and they're seeing all their different options, they're seeing Cub Scouts as an option as well for their children. And that's been pretty successful too. And then I would say our other two things would be Pinewood Derby. We definitely promote it. This is the first year we actually did something I've never done before in any of my years of scouting. And we created a thing called Battle of the Business. So we went around to each of the businesses, partnered with the Rotary Club, and businesses could purchase a Pinewood Derby kit for $50. So it's a twofold. My unit got money. So we were raising money for our events. And then the businesses got to battle each other. So picture like AutoZone against O'Reilly's, against, you know, Ace Hardware. Like, I've never seen so many dads get so excited. But they like talked amongst themselves. They brought their families. We had probably over 150 spectators to our Pinewood Derby a couple weeks ago. Our unit was able to raise $1,500 for the event. The prize for the businesses was just like a kind of a glass trophy that they could display in their business. But they had so much fun. And we also got Scouts to join from that event. And then typically then once we have all these different touches, and that's just kind of a couple of the ones we would do from like February to May, then in May, we would send out the flyers home to families saying, hey, we're having an event at the park, like the first week of June, we're going to launch rockets, or we're going to have a picnic or some sort of bicycle event or whatever it may be. And then by at that point, when they get that flyer, you know, they've seen us drop flyers at their door. They've, you know, their kids have come home and talked about us being in the teacher's lounge. They've seen us at the spring carnival. You know, they've seen us countless times that they're not like, kind of, they kind of sold themselves. And then we typically get, you know, 20, 30 kids at that June event to sign up. And then we'll, you know, do stuff again for another event like later in the fall.
That is amazing. And I want to very, very quickly point out one of our viewers, Debbie from Oklahoma. Debbie says they're a member of a brand new pack that is less than a month old. Debbie, thank you so much. We're so happy to have you on our show today. And I'm not sure if you caught what Jen just said. She was basically, that was the position you were in, right, Jen? Really not once, but almost twice, right? Mm-hmm. And so, Debbie, you have come to the right place. As a reminder, in case you missed the first few minutes of the show, Debbie, when we're done, you can always go back and watch. I want to point out also, Jen, I love what you said about letting people know that you exist, right? All these events that you're doing in the spring, unlike the fall recruiting night, when people know they're going to be asked to sign up, these are events that are really not asks, right? You're not asking people to sign up. You're just letting them know, hey, your Cub Scout pack exists. I was always, during my time as a Cub Master, sometimes kind of surprised when like some of my own peers in our school and our other, they didn't even know we existed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing wearing these shirts, right? You know, so, but just reminding folks that you exist. And again, these are, you know, you mentioned Scouting for Food, Pinewood Derby. These are events that you're going to be having anyway. So it's not that much extra to use them as an opportunity to just sort of remind folks that you exist, your Cub Scout pack exists. Maybe you have a website you put on there or contact information or a meeting schedule or something like that. Jean and I went to a Pinewood Derby last weekend at a mall here where they were passing out flyers for people who are interested in joining. I love the idea of the business versus business Pinewood Derby. That's brilliant. Nothing gets the juices flowing like some, competitive juices, mm-hmm. right?
Well, and if you're that. a new And if you're a newer pack too, or even an existing pack, but you have no funds, I mean, that's a great way to, you know, raise a couple $100 or even a couple $1,000 very easily with some fun, friendly competition.
You're raising money, you're spreading awareness of your pack, and the kids are having a blast, which of course is the most important thing. I want to do a few more quick shout outs here. John and Douglas and Patricia are all watching on our YouTube channel. Thank you guys for tuning in. George is watching from Idaho. Michael's watching from Maryland. This is great. We got tons of folks watching. Very, very cool. So I'm curious, Jen, about as you go through the spring, resources that are available to you. The BSA does provide some resources that might be handy. And I think maybe we want to talk about the Brand Center. Do you make use of that?
We do make use of the Brand Center. So if you don't have anyone that, you know, has a marketing digital degree, you don't have to have that. They have a great website on there. They have, you know, flyers, they have videos, postcards, the peer-to-peer postcards, they have bookmarks, pretty much anything you can think of. You want to put up a billboard, they've got, you know, the resources for that as well. And the nice thing is you can break it down like Cub Scouts or Scouts BSA. So while this is more geared to the Cubs, like if you were trying to start a troop and you need some resources, there's that. And then you can, you know, you can even pick your marketing materials by gender. So if, you know, you're really focused this fall on, you know, getting girls to join your unit, you can have marketing materials showing girls fishing and girls swimming. And then the nice thing is our units, particularly where I'm at right now, we have a lot of Spanish speaking youth. And we're actually in our area looking at doing a bilingual unit this fall. So they've got materials in English and Spanish or even bilingual. So depending on what your needs are, really, they I believe, cover them all.
Yeah, that's awesome. Rob says his pack used to always do a lot of recruiting in the spring. Had a lot of success doing it. Debbie, our friend from Oklahoma, who's starting the pack from scratch, she says her son eagled 2.5 years ago. She thought she was done. We sucked her back in. Yes. Thank you, Debbie. We appreciate that very, very much. A lot of good comments and questions coming in. Debbie says her Eagle Scout son, now 19-year-old, he's now their assistant cub master. That's really, really awesome. One question that a lot of folks have about recruiting anytime other than the fall, Jen, is, you know, the Cub Scout program, both the current program and the updated program that goes into effect June 1st are, made to last a school year, right? It's kind mm-hmm. of a 9-month program with, of course, maybe some summer activities. When kids join in January, February, March, or whatever, how do you handle that in terms of advancement? Is there pressure on them to catch up? How do you handle that, Jen?
The obvious answer is, you know, if they start any time other than when all the other kids start, they're going to be behind to some degree. But I don't view that as a barrier. I don't view that as a problem. What I do and other units, and other leaders in my unit, we just clearly communicate to the families that when they join, whenever it is, that, you know, the dents have already started working towards rank advancement. So their scout has a couple options. They can choose to complete that at home, you know, with a parent. They can work with their den leader, and maybe there's some time that can get set aside where they can get caught up. I do have scouts that say, you know what, that going back and doing some of those requirements doesn't matter to them. Getting their rank doesn't matter to them. And for me, that's okay. I would rather have a scout join and participate in their activities and experiences that they might, quite frankly, not otherwise have had, and maybe not get their rank patch, than to not participate at all. So I would hate for a scout to, you know, say, hey, let's not join, or, you know, they're scared because they can't catch up. I just, for me, it's providing a mountaintop experience, and that experience looks very different for each and every kid. Even if they start on the very same day, there's kids that get sick, or there's kids that choose, you know, to do sports for a couple months. You know, everybody's Cub Scout journey looks very different. And I think just being supportive of whatever journey they choose, I think is in the best for the family.
You know, Cub Scout motto is do your best. And we always like to say here on Cub Chat Live, that applies to adults as well. That's all really anybody asks. Love this comment from Melissa, who's watching on Facebook. One of our most successful recruiting tools was giving 3 flyers to each of our current scouts and telling them to share them with non-scout friends. And the flyers, these are not recruiting flyers. These are flyers simply inviting them to activities like fishing and things like that. Very, 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 very cool. I want to ask you another question, Jen, about your sure. experience. What are some of the things that you need to have in place ready to go in order to recruit in the spring? As an example, there's a website. I mean, a lot of people might not even know about beascout.org, right? Maybe you could talk about that and some other things that you need to make sure that your unit has in place as you go about your spring events and as you invite other families to attend and, you know, hopefully sign up, right?
Right. So definitely if you're going to do some recruiting, you want to make sure your BSA PIN on bscout.org is current. I know we just ran a report on the units in our district and found out that a lot of them with recharter that just took place, there's a lot of inaccurate information, meaning like there might be a name of a leader there that's not there, or the phone number's wrong, or maybe you moved your chartered org location because maybe you have a new chartered org partner, or any variety of different reasons. But if you're putting those yard signs out or your flyers out and any of your marketing material references beascout.org and asks for your families to go there to sign up, and your information's not correct, that could be really frustrating for your families, and ultimately stop the application process for them because they don't know where to go or who to contact. So definitely take a look at that. If you're a current leader, make sure all your information is current. I would also say some other things, making sure you have some sort of digital presence. Some people use Facebook, some have websites, a place where families can go to see all the amazing things your unit's doing. Because I'm sure all of you on this Cub Scout chat today do amazing things. And you know what? Why not let everyone else see those things? You also want to make sure you have enough help and volunteers for your recruiting events. I know some people that wear multiple hats, sometimes you get stuck wearing all the multiple hats for your recruiting event as well. You know, definitely feel free to, just like you ask, you know, youth to do stuff, ask adults. I think a lot of times those of us on this webinar today don't do enough asking. You know, we just take on the work ourselves rather than, you know, asking a parent. They don't necessarily have to be a leader, but saying, hey, you know, can you help and maybe just man this table for the time being, or help launch rockets, or, you know, play with the kids, you know, for an hour at the playground and watch them. So, you know, make sure you ask for help. And if you're doing an actual event, making sure there's a fun activity for the youth to participate while the adults are getting the information. Because there's definitely a lot of information that, especially a lot of time, new families aren't familiar with, like, you know, all the names of the dens and ranks and, you know, just the logistics of scouting in general. So sometimes it's hard for a parent to focus when, you know, you've got three kids pulling on you, mom, 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 and or dad, 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 or whatever. And it's hard, you know, to actually get that information.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And Jen, I want to emphasize what you said again, the idea of having a digital presence, especially a lot of families who, haven't been in scouting, don't really know that much about scouting, but are interested in joining. You know, when they go to beascout.org or when they find your website or your Facebook page or whatever, you know, they're kind of expecting to have up-to-date information, right? So let's keep that beascout.org pin updated. A lot of times, you know, a Cub Master will leave with their, you know, with their child, right? But that contact name and email address is still on there. You know, you hate to think about emails going to this person's email address that maybe they're not even using anymore. So maybe that's something everybody can make a point of doing. If you haven't done that recently, check your beascout.org contact information. And posting pictures to Facebook is an easy thing that, you know, a lot of people do that anyway. But you don't realize when you're doing that, you also are potentially recruiting new members because people can go on there and see, isn't this cool? They're doing a race with little pinewood cars. How do they do that? That's amazing. We've got a question from Steve that I want to address real quick. Jen, if we could, he's watching on YouTube. Sure. And this is kind of related to our conversation, but this could almost apply to anywhere. Steve says that their pack draws from multiple elementary schools, so they don't have that easy in with just one school. Jen, do you have any advice for folks like Steve who are trying to recruit and pull from multiple schools? How do you get on their good side, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so actually the unit that I started, where we started for five kids and ended up just under 100 right before COVID, is actually three elementary schools in the same town. So we pulled from three different schools. And really it's, reaching out to the principals, or if you know some teachers, and start building relationships to get into those schools. I would say, you know, just networking. Networking is a big thing. Learning some of the parents in those schools, if you can't, you know, I know some people struggle with actually getting in schools, and they're like, you know, it's not that easy. And I understand that. But then, you know, there's ways where, you know, if your son or daughter is participating in a sport, like, I don't know, wrestling or football, you know, getting to know those parents and, you know, working your way through those parents to get into some of those schools. And at the very least, offering your services, you know, can we help at, you know, a spring fundraiser? Can we help at a Veterans Day assembly? A lot of schools now are doing the trunk or treats. Participate in a trunk or treat. No one's going to stop you from bringing your vehicle and parking it outside the school and doing a Cub Scout theme and maybe handing out s'mores with, you know, a little information. I would say the biggest thing is like being creative and networking, and you know what, just don't give up, like keep trying, and there's always a way or an avenue. Sometimes it's just a little harder to get to.
We have just a few more minutes left with Jen, our expert on recruiting in the spring and other non-fall recruiting times. Debbie, who was our friend from Oklahoma who just started up PAC, she says their PAC is behind. Debbie, just do your best. That's all anybody asks. It's okay. It's totally cool. You're not the only one in this situation. And I want to remind Debbie, hey, your local council is there for you to support also in situations like this. And I want to, again, Jen, all the things that Jen mentions, I love it because these are things that you can do anyway with your PAC that are fun. Trunk or treat events, showing up at events sponsored by your school. Our Cub Scout PAC had a lot of success with flag ceremonies. They needed someone to do flag ceremonies for Veterans Day and things like that. There are events going on at your school, you know, really year round, school year round, where they could use help picking up trash, right? Setting up chairs, putting chairs away. All of these are things where you can volunteer to help, show up with your Cub Scout uniform or your Cub Scout t-shirt or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, guess what? You're recruiting. You don't even realize it. You're recruiting. You're spreading awareness. Jen, a couple more questions before we let you go. We've listed a lot of things you can do during spring to help recruit new members, spread awareness of your PAC. Any don'ts? Is there anything that you've learned over the years that didn't work for you? Anything that you would suggest that folks maybe kind of steer clear of?
I can't think of anything that comes to mind with an actual event that I would steer clear from. But what I would avoid is over-promising or not providing clear expectations. So, you know, if we do all these purposeful activities leading up to a big recruiting night in May or June, I'm not going to have families join in May or June and tell them that we're going to go camping unless I'm providing the details and the cost and my unit actually intends to go camping. I'm going to be truthful at that recruiting event in May or June. If our unit doesn't do much, you know, in the summer months, June, July, and August, I'm going to let them know that because the last thing I want is a family to join, be really excited, and then we don't have any events for them in the summer. Granted, our units that I've been participating in and those that I work closely with do and are very active in those summer months because there's a lot of outdoor activity type things to do. But I guess it's just to be clear with your expectations to your families.
Yeah, and that's true year round. We don't want to make promises that we can't keep, right? You know, some packs go camping off more often than others. And that's totally cool as long as you're honest and upfront about it and what's expected and things like that. Some PACs will go to district level campouts, council level campouts, things like that. All that stuff is great. You know, when you're recruiting kids, right? Families, just be honest about all that. I think that applies year round. We've got, you know, Mike is watching on X, the website formerly known as Twitter. Mike, thank you for watching. He suggests that you avoid political events, and that is true. We don't participate in any sort of political campaign or rally or anything like that. I want to make sure we got a lot of folks, a lot of comments on our YouTube channel. Thank you guys for watching on YouTube. Samuel says they've had great luck combining dens during certain months. The new adventures will help out with this. That is correct. The updated Cub Scout program should make that even easy for you, Samuel. Glad that you're excited about that. Jen, before we let you go, any other final factors that you can mention? Anything else to ensure successful recruiting in the spring?
I guess just, you know, get out there, be active, and promote everything you're doing. You know, have somebody take pictures. You know, if you've got a volunteer that's great with networking and welcoming families, ask them if they'll be the new member coordinator. If you've got an adult that just can't get that camera out of their hand, ask them if they'll be responsible for taking pictures and posting it. Because a lot of times as a leader, you get so caught up in the moment and, you know, you don't have any pictures to share of the event. And honestly, I think sometimes those pictures speak louder than words. And we get a lot of scouts that see what we do and get excited about it.
We should do a whole Cub Chat Live about taking pictures of scouting events, because that is a great way to recruit new members. Take pictures, put them on the Facebook page that you already have. And boy, I 100% agree. You know, as a leader, you're trying to keep a track of everybody. You're trying to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. You might not have time to really capture the moment with photographs, but like you said, there are, there's parents out there already who are taking photos because they love it. So don't be afraid to ask. I think a lot of times, I know for me personally, I was kind of afraid to ask for help because I didn't want to impose on anybody. But, you know, we've always say this, Jen, if you ask a lot of different people to do little things, you know, you're really not asking that much, instead of asking one or two people to do everything. Jen, we cannot thank you enough for joining us today. And by the way, Steve says thanks. Steven, who's watching on Facebook, also says thanks. Mike says thanks for all the info. I'm going to say thank you, Jen, also. Thanks for joining us today, Jen. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Anything I can do to help.
Thank you all for watching today. Again, as a reminder, when we're done here, this video will stay on this Facebook page. You can also listen to it as a podcast. Send it to your friends. Share it with everybody. They can listen to it on their way to work next Monday. We don't care. Just listen. Thank you all for joining us today. Appreciate it. Hope you all have a great weekend. So long, everybody. Bye, Jen. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live, except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.